Yes, dear listeners, we are continuing with business and economic segment. We are looking at economic development, and we are also looking at what's happening internationally, continentally, and also domestically. And we are looking at opportunities and also sectors, emerging sectors in Namibia. So you understand that this is a business and economic segment with me, David Shombe. And in the studio, I'm going to be joined by one of, young persons in Namibia, so a legal professional, and she is in oil and gas sector. She's going to join me, and you are also welcome to make sure that you give your contribution, you give your view, particularly when it's coming to latest development in Namibia. As you understand that the context of national development plan number 6 is looking at also emerging sector, the investment on in green hydrogen, the investment in oil and gas, prioritization of agriculture, and all those things which are promising Namibia advancement and to reach 2030. However, today we are going to talk about oil. And many of you, when you hear about oil, there is different perspective and views, particularly what's currently happening in Namibia. But how are young people going to partake in this new emerging sector? And there are those who are talking about, you know, oil is a blessing. And also in some contexts, it's also called to say, can also be a case if it's not well handled. However, today I'm going to be joined by Justina Erastus. He's a Namibian energy visionary and founder of Youth in Oil and Gas Summit. She's a lawyer by profession and is also a founder of Youth in Oil and Gas Summit. And just to help us and also assist us also to look at what are some of the opportunities and challenges which are there, and also how we can also look at that direction. So, Justine, good evening, and welcome to Business and Economic Segment. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. We are very happy to have you today. And just before we go to the context of our conversation for today, what motivated you? I know you are the founder of Oil and Gas Summit, but what motivated you as a legal profession? Some, legal professionals, they run to court, some they go to labor-related issues, and also some remain in academia. But what really motivated you to venture into this, and particularly in oil and gas?
Thank you so much. From the top of my head, I think what really motivated me to, you know, come together with my colleagues so that we could, you know, come up with this platform is really representation. Mm-hmm. When I first entered or started working in the oil and gas industry, every day I could see a different opportunity I could seize myself personally.
Yeah.
And, you know, moving back home to Walvis Bay from Windhoek, then I started working in the oil and gas industry.
Yeah.
And I know my community personally.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that, no, this is something a young Namibian can take on. It's not impossible. It's hard, but it's not impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being in the oil and gas industry, you go conference to conference. You are in those rooms with the big names, right?
Yeah, the big boys.
The big names,
yeah,
you know? Yeah, yeah. So, usually I'm one of the youngest,
okay,
and the little information I can absorb and share on my LinkedIn, it's not enough. So that's why I decided, guys, let's come together and let's try and share this information that we are getting from these conferences in a manner that is understandable to the normal person.
Mm-hmm.
That is how they can become aware of the opportunities, and that is how they can take part.
Mm-hmm.
So really, from the top of my head, I just wanted young people to be represented by a platform in this oil and gas industry.
Yeah. And just before we go to the context also, I remember I attended, Namibia Business Summit, where a presenter by the name Franz, Kalenga, is well known in the sector. He indicated to say, no, a lot of young people in Namibia, we like complaining, but we don't read, some relevant information. Particularly, there was a recent study which was done by Deloitte, I believe, just to look at what are some opportunities and challenges. And maybe from your end, in your view, how can young people get involved in this industry, and what is the right channel to get involved in this oil and gas, sector?
I think the first step is really awareness.
Yeah.
I don't think you can be involved in anything that you are not aware of, or you don't have some sort of understanding.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of people, when they hear oil and gas, they just think, no, it's just for engineers.
Yeah.
Maybe geologists, it's a specialist field.
Yeah.
But if you dive deep into it, you realize that the industry needs communicators.
Yeah.
It needs accountants.
Yeah.
It needs people to be safety officers or do logistics.
Yeah.
Even creatives, right? Because it's a long value chain. So when you dive in, then you start to see, oh, there are gaps that I can plug in, right?
Yeah.
So young people can really, as a first step, they can get involved by attending platforms, like the summit or the Namibia Youth Energy Forum. I think when they have access to those platforms, then they can start having that awareness that, oh, okay, there's a company that is recruiting. Let me submit my CV. But before I submit my CV, is there a special way or a specific way that my CV needs to be organized for me to be, you know, a contender in this? So awareness is a big thing. And it's one thing that we are really pushing for through the summit, to make young people aware. And we are trying to do so not through the traditional way of communicating, you know, radio or newspapers. We are really trying to find the youth where they are, on TikTok, on platforms like Twitter or X. And we are trying to pull them in and say, guys, this is a link. Read through this article on LinkedIn. And there's a upcoming, it could be maybe a summit taking place. Try and attend. Yeah? Because when you are in the room, you have conversation, you start to have that awareness. And from that awareness, I think is how young people can become a part of the oil and gas industry. And then they can stop thinking that it's a specialized industry only for the select few who have master's degrees and honors degrees in engineering. Even the educator, the person with a degree in education.
Yeah.
So that's where you become aware that, oh, I can upskill and I can specialize with my education degree, and that makes me employable at the IOC. IOC is another word for international oil companies, and we have a lot of them working in our seas. So that awareness makes us employable, not employable, but it gives us the opportunity to position ourselves strategically so that we can become employable and also take a part.
Yes, Justina, while we are there, we look at the challenges which we are facing in Namibia, because, you know, Namibian youth, particularly we, the young generation, post-colonial young people, Namibians, they, I don't want to say they are desperate to work, they do not have jobs. And looking at the current statistic which came out, we are the highest country with highest unemployment in general in SADC region. And with, among all those things, we are faced by a lot of challenges. Looking at opportunities like in oil and gas, in your view, how should a young graduate, let me say I did HR, or let me say I studied agriculture, for example, but I realized to say there are no really good opportunities here. I'm interested in that. How can these young Namibians who are in the street, some are struggling to make an admin, change to oil and gas sector, or how can they participate in that industry?
Really, that is why we also created the summit, so that we can make people aware of the fact that oil and gas is not just about drilling. It's about building the entire and participating in the ecosystem of it. A graduate who has a degree in law can work as, or they can work in energy regulation, for example. Somebody who has a business degree, they can work in procurement or finance. Or somebody with a background in hospitality, for example. They can support offshore catering operations, right? So the key is to really understand how your skills, the skills that you have, how do they fit into the value chain? And then when you understand that, then you can try and see how do you position yourself accordingly. So we really need to change our mindset from I don't qualify to how can I fit in with the skills that I have? If I don't have enough skills, where can I go to then upskill to become employable, right? And I also want to change or to at least motivate young people to have a more creative mindset in terms of what can I start? What business can I start?
Yeah.
Rather than, because the numbers are in front of us, and that's the truth. Unemployment rate is so high.
Yeah.
But we are all standing in that long line of, we are all waiting for a job.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, as we are dropping our CVs, what can I also do on myself, by myself, as a small business that can contribute to it?
While we are there, you know, there is always a lot of questions regarding priorities, and also regarding can I really get into the center of this thing? Because, you know, people have different views. Some are saying, no, we are going green. Some are saying, no, oil is a way. Some are saying, let us use all sorts of energy to develop our country, and let us use all the resources to make sure that we develop our country. In that, as somebody who is in that industry, have you also experienced these different views, particularly to those who are looking at the other sides of resources, such as green hydrogen, all those things? Did you experience such views also?
When I think of the word energy,
I think
it's very broad. It covers oil and gas.
Yeah.
It covers non-renewable, like green hydrogen.
Yeah.
It also covers, you know, the mining sector.
Yeah.
So it's very broad.
Yeah.
So depending on your interest, your specialization, I don't believe there is one part of the sector that is better off than the other. It's really also just about diving deep and saying, man, Namibia currently, what is our unemployment rate? And then also, are we 100% electrified as a country?
Or do
we still have villages in the north that still are using candles? What is the urgency of it? If then, I mean, based on your answer, it takes you to oil and gas, or it takes you down green hydrogen, or even the mining.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we need to do what we can to make life better for ourselves, not in 10 years, because nobody is willing to wait for 10 years.
Yeah.
You need to eat today, right?
Yeah.
Don't cook for a meal to eat it in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what we are also encouraging is how we are running about our business as a nation. We need to do so sustainably, without destroying our environment, without destroying our economy, right? So that question of, and usually a lot of people want to know, where should I go? Is it oil and gas versus non-renewable? For me, I see energy.
Yeah.
I see opportunity.
So you see a bigger picture?
I see the bigger picture.
Okay.
And one over the other, honestly, there's no difference. My goal here is to make young people aware of the opportunities and try and reduce that number, that percentage from unemployment.
Yes. In your view, as somebody who has been in that industry, I was also reading the National Development Plan number 6, where we see oil is also on the table. It's not put in the choir, like they were saying, to say no, people are close and all those things. I see it's on the table, and I'm also happy to say the government is also considering this. But looking at let us look at apart from now the state, is private sector moving toward that area? Not only youth, but in Namibia, when you look, how is the involvement of private sector in oil and gas, especially at this point in time?
Right now I don't have accurate facts expect to back that up.
Yeah.
But I absolutely believe, and I know that private is also involved, in the sense that, you know, they are opening up. And, you know, when an industry booms, it cannot just boom in unison, like I am, like isolated from all other industries. It's a network, right? Public and private, it's interconnected.
Yeah.
So in terms of, are you trying to find out in terms of employment, how are they playing? What is the question?
Yeah, in terms of just involvement, are they priority? Are they moving their business there? Are they investing in that sector, particularly local private sector?
I'm not really sure. I don't have the actual facts for that.
Okay.
So I can't really comment on that.
Okay, no problem. Let us look at academia, because there's always this thing of, as you know, Namibia, it's like many other countries, we have rich natural resources, and there is always a problem about, no, somebody is coming and run away with our resources because we do not have skills and all those information. Now you are the founder of Youth in Oil and Gas Summit, and I want to understand one thing through what you have seen. How is our education curriculum, particularly at high institution, accommodating the new industries? Are they changing, or they are still at the backward when it's coming to knowledge-based area regarding oil and also a new sector? How is our curriculum in terms of that?
Okay, so from my observation, there has been such a, there's been great interest. And if I'm not mistaken, I think both universities, Namibia University of Science and Technologies, as well as the University of Namibia, I think both have already started integrating the energy. And when I say energy, very broadly, that includes oil and gas and green hydrogen. They have already started doing, whether it's short master classes on campus or introducing an entire course based on that. I think also the International University Management, IUM, they have a postgraduate on oil and gas, right? So you can see that they are currently moving in a futuristic direction because they see that there's a pickup, not only because of there's a pickup, the industry has always been there.
Okay.
It's based on the discoveries now and the emerging sector, and then the interest and the spark, right? So I, from my engagements with the students from those institutions, also the leaders from those institutions, which we have made effort to invite them, they will also be in attendance, which I think is important, because we also need to hear from them, right? That what route are you guys going to take to make sure that the students at university are equipped for first oil by 2029? Are we going to phase out old courses? Are we going to do a study to see, okay, now we have 100,000 students with education degrees in the industry, but they are not employable. Should we maybe change the direction to other courses? What is the market need, right? So based on it, I can share that I think the institutions, the training institutions, including the TVET, are really taking a proactive approach in terms of educating and making sure that we are not really just putting, especially TVET. TVET is so important. Blue collar is the backbone of oil and gas, if you look at it, right? Because majority of the people, the skills, the labor really needed is the guys who are doing welding, is the artisans, is the electricians, right? Is the carpenters, the joints, the fitters and turners. How do I know about all of these names? Because, you know, I engage with a lot of people. Hi, I have this kind of qualification. How can I become employable?
Yeah.
Right? So I believe that the training institutions are really making an effort to prioritize the energy sector, not above any other, but to also put it part of the plans that, guys, this is where we are moving towards. Let's also educate and make sure that the youth are positioned strategically.
Yes, let us look at an ordinary Namibian, because there's always somebody who, because, you know, in most cases, especially, and I find it, you know, when we host this, you know, program, Business and Economic, we think we are talking to everybody, but I realize to say there are always those who are listening, but in most cases, particularly when you talk about unemployment or opportunities and also new markets coming up, we don't really speak about the neglected, I don't want to say neglected generation, but you find a sector of people who a person is between opportunities, but everything which is coming is just jumping this person. A person is not having a grade 10 certificate. A person, let me say, did not get the opportunity to go to vocational training center. A person is not married due to the economic activities. A person is just there in the mid. How do you accommodate those who do not have a qualification, do not have training, and how do they benefit from this oil and gas? How do they benefit from this? How is the supply chain looking like, especially when you establish the industry of oil and gas?
Sure, this is a deep question.
Yeah,
but it really needs a realistic approach to get a realistic response.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, you have to be very careful. You have to choose your words.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You have to be sensitive in the way you respond. But there's also the reality on the ground, because we can keep on saying, yes, let's push here. But then the reality is, are the numbers on the ground changing?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think for me, I've also been a part of the group that has the qualification but is unemployed.
Yeah.
And you have applied.
Yeah.
Until, for me, what I found was, let me just create an opportunity for myself. The one opportunity that I'm looking, let me create it. Not for myself also, but to empower others. And, we are all different.
Yeah.
So what the one person is able to do is not really. But I really believe that if we are going to, in whatever you do, whether you're a radio presenter, whether you're convening, your skill must be able to empower the next person.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at the oil and gas industry and everyone from the skilled to the unskilled, it's a long journey between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically for this industry, you have to understand the journey between from exploration to production to distribution.
Yeah.
And how can a normal person who doesn't have any qualification, how do they get to know about this information, right? Yeah. Because this information is what empowers you to make the right decision, right?
Yeah.
So when you then start to understand what is exploration actually, and what does production mean, and what is distribution, then you will know that there are companies that are involved in this journey, right? And those companies need services. What kind of services could that be?
Yeah.
Could be transport, could be catering, cleaning, welding, security, printing, so many. And now this also speaks back to information dissemination. Is information available to the person on the street? So it takes, you need to do a lot of study to study where do people spend most of their time? How do they get information? When they are on social media, what do they look at? Right? So that's where the normal Namibian comes in. Let's say you have a small business.
Yeah.
You are able to supply goods or services to a contractor. But then you also need to know, what is a contractor and where can I find it and how do I submit my tender, right?
Yeah.
So it's the idea is there, the vision is there. I think it's more about implementation. It's about finding the audience, which is now the people who are, you know, don't have grade 10 or don't have grade 12 and they are just there. The reality is, the effort that we put in as a summit to reach young people all the way from Kavango, Zambezi, Oshanam, all the way to the south. It's not only about Walvis Bay. So the effort that we really put in to push and to make the awareness of that there is a platform for young people to come. If you can even tune in virtually, we just want you to sit and to listen to the experts and hear what they have to say. And then you are also able to ask your own personal questions. Hi, I'm just grade 10 now. I'm hearing about oil and gas. what really is it and how can I partake? That is the best we can do currently at this stage. And as you keep on engaging people, you hear their different queries, then you adjust the sales to then try and assist. But the local person on the street with their, whether it's a street vendor,
yeah,
oil and gas runs all the way to the Kapana lady because it's a value chain. It's a network of money that mm-hmm. flows coming in from foreign investment mm. to the local service provider through local content,
yeah,
all the way.
Yes. The last question before I let you go, I know you are a very busy person. Let us look at the mindset, because, you know, maybe due to difficulties of situations in Namibia, a lot of young people, they have a different mentality, especially when it's coming to new sector. I know the other time I was speaking with Musheko to say, no, people want to work, people want opportunity, but they are just sitting and talking and debating. Because when you look at social media, for example, look on TikTok, you find the best debaters there. But you, when you meet them one-on-one to say, no, let's start a business or let's do this, the person is quiet and you just know what is going on. So now how can we change the mindset of young people to grab opportunities and also to try new things? Because things are very tough when you go out there. Yeah, things are very tough. Yeah. It's not what we see on social media. Things are not well. But how can we change the mindset of young people, not only to say in oil and gas sector, but just in general to say, move out there and explore new things? Because when you look in Nigeria, when you go to Abuja, for example, a lot of guys are millionaires there because they get portion in the oil industry and all these things.
Yahoo boys.
Yeah. Indeed. So how can we do that?
Sure, that's a great question.
Yeah.
I really like to keep it very realistic. I always like to tell people that you don't have to have it figured it out. You don't have to have it all figured out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You just need to start with what you have.
Yeah.
And some people, they want to, it's a norm. You will think of abandoning what you have because you think, you know, there's the grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah.
Right? So again, whether you are from any of the 14 regions of this country, whether you studied engineering or you dropped out of school,
yeah,
I believe that there's a place for you in this industry. Mm-hmm. It really just starts by access to information,
mm-hmm.
right? And the industry is growing
yeah.
every day.
Yeah.
And it really needs the efforts of the young people. It needs the innovative ideas of young people, forward-thinking ideas. How can you integrate AI into, you know, seismic surveying, how do we move away from, because the world is digitalizing every day.
Yeah.
So it's really about putting yourself out there. It's about your hustle. It's about your voice, right?
Mm.
So it's really about showing up and asking questions,
yeah.
not just any question, asking the right questions.
Yeah,
and how do you get to ask the right questions? It's by reading having, you know, information. That's how you ask the right questions. And when you ask the right questions, then suddenly opportunities appear.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's really just, you don't have to have it figured out.
Yeah.
You just need to start with what you have.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the mentality that I also want to address, yeah, it's not for us. It's exclusively for, you know, the learned. No, I don't believe so. And I also don't want people to start putting hyper attention on this industry and then abandoning other critical industries like agriculture. That causes a resource curse, and we don't want to experience that in the country. Everybody suddenly abandoning, you know, remember, an engine needs different parts to work, to run.
Yeah.
So we cannot start abandoning critical aspects of this sector or this country's economy, and then everybody wants to focus on oil and gas because it's now the topic of the day,
mm-hmm.
right? How can you also play a part from your respective industry?
Mm-hmm.
And to be very honest, I'm such an advocate for information. It really starts about knowledge. When you have the right knowledge, you make informed decisions.
Yes, Justine Erastus, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for that information. And we're always happy, especially when we are seeing young people partaking in national developmental agenda, and continue do what you are doing. And I wish again, so you can join us one day again, so we can ask you more regarding oil and gas industry. But for now, thank you very much, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. Really appreciated it. And I really applaud and commend this platform.
Yeah.
I hope that it's the voice of the youth also.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's platforms like this that really help to further share that information that is needed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because where else, you know, maybe somebody doesn't have that, but there's a radio.
Mm.
So now they have access to this information. So continue doing what you're doing. We really appreciate you as a nation.
Thank you. Yes, that was Justin Erastus, the founder of Youth in Oil and Gas Summit. And she was sharing with us opportunities and also what young people can do, especially looking at various sectors on which driving this nation. And one of the highlights that Justin has mentioned is that, you know, you don't need to figure it out at one time. You don't need to figure everything out, but you learn as you go. And the other thing also that you need to look at is that we are in this problem, all of us. And this problem, all of us, if you think you are lucky because you are employed, you are still having a burden, because other people who are not employed, they will still put you into trouble. You will still need to support them. And some may also end up stealing what you put on the table. That's why the problem of youth unemployment should not be looked at just from those who are struggling. It should be a bigger thing to say, how can we navigate this dangerous water? How can we navigate this dangerous water? And what is this dangerous water? This dangerous water is the rate of unemployment in Namibia, which is also leading in SADC. And one of these things is natural resources that Namibia has. And in this regard, we talk about oil and gas. We talk about green hydrogen. We talk about diamond. We talk about uranium. We talk about fishing. We talk about agriculture resources. How can we navigate this unemployment rate, and how can we assist our country? And one of the things that she mentioned is that there is a lot of opportunities in oil and gas. Yes, and while we are here at the oil and gas, let us not get involved into debates which will not take us anywhere. Let us not involve ourselves in debates which you cannot take anywhere, because the debate on the table is not about renewable and non-renewable. The debate on the table is about how can you use resources of your country to improve the status quo, to develop your country, and also to make sure that Namibia is not where it is. Because when you look at other countries, look, it took Europe, the US, more than 100 of years before they are where they are. And when you are asking yourself very well, I don't want to give you an answer, which energy were they using to make sure that they are at the standard where they are? If you go critically and ask yourself those questions, then you'll be able to understand, to say there is something wrong somewhere. Because when you look at what African countries are doing, let us try to use our natural resources to our advantage, and also let us try to have right information.
And I was so shocked, especially when I attended Namibia Business Summit, where we you know, listened to various presenters, where Kalambo was there also, Connie Ferguson, who inspired various entrepreneurs, how they can get into various sectors and also motivate them to take up opportunities to the best of their abilities. One of the speakers was Franz Karenga. He's a well-known guy in the corporate industry. And he indicated to say, without knowledge, we may end up we may end up eating our eyes. And he gave a very good story to say, when you do not have right information, when you do not have knowledge, when you don't pursue knowledge, you may end up also blocking your ways, and you may also end up not achieving what you are supposed to achieve. Let us stop this really not so good debate, but let us look at opportunity. There is a study done by Deloitte about oil and gas. Go and look for it. Go to the Deloitte webpage, get that report, look where opportunities are. And as Justina has mentioned, there is a lot of opportunity. You don't need to study chemical engineering to enter into oil and gas industry. You don't need a qualification in science, in electrical engineering. You do not need to be a scientist. But without a degree, with a catering business, with the right information, with good understanding of, let me say you know how to make clothes, or you are in tailoring business, but there are people who are going to need overalls to go in the offshore, area. Why can't you align yourself with that sector? Ask right information. That's why we always touch on the issue of accessibility of right information and the importance of having right information in addressing critical issues, especially those which are going to put bread and butter on the table. So when we speak about oil and gas industry, when we speak about dissemination of information, we don't only talk about oil and gas. We talk about how can we be on top of our game. And being on top of your game, it means that you know where the country is going. Because I always like giving an example of a company, or giving an example of an SOE, to say there is an organizational strategic plan that you don't need as an employee to read everything. You must know which values are you standing on. What are you standing on? What is Eagle FM Namibia standing on? What are we standing on? We are talk radio station, for example. We look at the bread and butter issue, economic related, issues, deep discussion on national development, opportunities, SME development, and how can I align my thinking as an employee of that institution, and how can I position myself to contribute positively to the goal of that institution. Now, as a citizen of Namibia, what is your state strategic plan? And you agree with me that although it's very difficult to determine, there are plans on the table like NDP6, which are on the table, and there are also projects under that strategic plan, which, and there is also a budget for that strategic plan. We can call it NDP6, you can call it Vision 2030, you can call them various forms, but if you know where the country is going, it's more easier for you to see how can you contribute to that area. If you know how much is invested in oil and gas, who is responsible for oil and gas, who is responsible for green hydrogen, what information do I need, what are the reports saying, and how is the budget, then it's more easier for you to strategically position yourself. And not only now, not only today, not only tomorrow, but in the future. Because at the end of the day, it is about those who grab opportunities at the right time. Because you can go to oil and gas and you fail, you stand up, you with a lesson. But ask yourself this. If companies like Chevron and others are investing their money in Namibia, what portion can you get? And it's not correct at all, especially when you abandon information and when you abandon training. Then I end up being a guard or just a hand angle. We call it an assistant, just assisting at oil and gas. But I was supposed to be at the center of things, because if things are happening in your country, be the first one to get information and be the first one also to be at the center of that. That's why, dear listeners, when we speak about business and economic segment platform, that the platform that we are having now is where you have to come on board and give your constructive criticism. When you give your contribution, ask questions, comment, and also how you can partake in this industry. Because in a situation where you really want to partake in this industry and you do not have right information, you can call us. You can call us. We give you economic information for free as long as you are going to contribute to the national development. That's why we always thank those who are taking time and also opportunities to make sure that they position themselves for the future. And they also assist those who need assistance. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Today, we are looking at oil and gas, and we can also compare it with our national developmental priorities. We are continuing with our discussion, and today, as I indicated, we are talking about oil and gas. We are talking about oil and gas as focus area. And interestingly, when you look at pillars in National Developmental Plan number 6, that is NDP 6, you realize to say some of the focus areas, we have green hydrogen, you have oil and gas. When you look at the sub-goals of oil and gas, according to the NDP 6, stated that developed oil and gas industry to contribute to socio-economic development of Namibia. And it's also stated that by 2030, the gas production rate increased from 0 to 130 MMSCF/D. And what are the strategies? Because you must be very strategic about how you approach things. Then the strengthening of legal policy framework, because you need a policy framework before you enter into any specific business. You need also to be sustainable and also to support what they call just energy transition. Because when you are in that sector, you don't just produce oil and start burning oil here and there, then you start polluting the environment, all those things. You must be very clear, and you must also have an alternative plan on how you are going to use oil and gas sustainably. And infrastructure that promote investment, those are some of the strategy. Strengthening skill development, research and innovation. Now, looking at NDP 6, you'll be able to realize to say, a lot of people were saying, and not a lot of people, even me, I was asking to say, no, where is our oil? Why people are very quiet about oil and gas? And also, a lot of people were saying, no, oil and gas, we are not going to see them anymore because they are under the presidency. And I think being under the presidency, the president also, in my view, being a former Minister of International Relations, I think she has observed enough. She traveled enough and she has observed enough in country with oil. Look at the Middle East. Look at Africa, how they also handle their oil. I think she has observed enough. That's why they must be very closer. A lot of people are saying oil and gas. And I think with having a strategy on the table like policy framework, it's now up to us as Namibians, not only young people, just Namibians in general, to make sure that when they talk about oil and gas policy framework, the legal framework, which is going to guide those, development, are you the one to get those information? Are you the first person to get those information? How is the oil contracts are going to be signed? And also, how is oil business going to be operated? Because looking at things, new industries is only those with inside information that can move forward. It's only those with technical know-how, technical knowledge, how they can move, they can grab this opportunity. Look at the ongoing case regarding Namco and all those things. To generally comment on it, you will also be able to say that the technical part of things, the business of oil, is not well understood. That's why if you are a lawyer, if you are a student of economics, if you are a student of vocational training center, try to align yourself with oil and gas industry. Try to align yourself with other energy industry, emerging things, because when industries are going to be standing, you are going to be number one who is leading those industries, and you have to be the agent of change. And one thing I've also seen is being pessimist and the lack of courage to enter into the unknown territory. Yeah, it's part of human nature to be cautious enough and also to strategize before moving. But it's also one thing if you spend more time in the neutral, or spend more time without moving, it will be too late before you form an impact. That's why, dear listeners, it's always good to have right information, because I'm always telling people to say, we like going to events, we like attending those bigger events, but if you have a question, at least don't need to know everything. And my colleague Eleni always say, it's always good to have a bit of everything. Know a bit of everything. Know a bit of insight about everything, because this world does not require you to be an expert in everything, but having a general understanding of how things are operating. So when you have a general understanding of how things are operating, it's more easier for you to refocus. It's more easier for you to refocus and also to move when time requires. And also, it's more important also to understand who you are dealing with, because you find young people, somebody's telling people that he is a graduate of business management, or a graduate of computer science, or a graduate of engineering or social work or nursing. But when people are entering real conversation about his field or her field, the person is just saying, okay, or yes, or I see, or it could be true. Have content, and you don't necessarily need to be an expert in your field, but at least the culture of reading and the culture of updating yourself is valuable. The culture of reading and updating yourself is valuable, because if people are talking about emerging industries, to say, if people are talking about green hydrogen, what is your understanding of green hydrogen? What is your understanding of oil and gas? No, those things are only for people who are learned, people who went to school, and all those things. That is a problem with us, because in the next 5 years, a person who is educating himself has more capital than somebody who is working at a high position, because information is power. You are armed to the teeth, because you can navigate changes, you can navigate economic crisis, you can navigate drought, you can navigate lack of opportunity, and you can create opportunities where other people are not able to create opportunities. That's why we are always saying, when we bring about this conversation about the business and economic segment, is for us young people, old people, adults, the smaller generation to come on the table and discuss about these issues, because at the end of the day, this is our country, and the development of this country do not depend on anyone but us. And for your own understanding, for this state to move forward, you don't only need government, you don't only need the private sector, you don't only need NGO, but in fact, you need anybody. You need anybody. You need everybody on the table, because the ship should not sink. We must be on this ship, and we must make it all of us to the offshore, to the shore, I mean. So that's why, dear listeners, today we are discussing about oil and gas. We are discussing about oil and gas in relation to national developmental priorities, and also in relation to global, continental, regional, and indeed state priorities. Because Mekuru is very clear about where she wants to take this country. But believe me, she cannot do it alone. Yeah, that's why I'm telling me and you to say we must get on board. Look at what sector should we run with. No, don't just run on everything. If you're in communication, be in communication. But if you realize that you are utilizing your knowledge of communication to a different field, do that. How can a doctor, for example, partake in oil and gas? How can a paramedic partake in oil and gas? Because those people who are going to work, let me say you have a project which is happening in the sea. You need expert in that. How can a welder partake in oil and gas? That's why the issues of skilling and reskilling is crucial in this regard. Skilling and reskilling is crucial in this regard, because that is the only way that you can be able to add value to your already existing qualification and already existing knowledge. So you can be responsible and also a productive business person, a productive employee, a productive contractor in that sector. So, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to the business and economic segment. And we are always very happy, especially when we talk about this sector. We are always very happy when we listen to your view. So do not forget to follow us in our social media platform. Follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn. Like and share our page. And also do not forget to download our e-paper. That is, of course, the Villager newspaper that is happening every Monday, that is being released every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye-bye.